Well, Anne, thank you for joining us on the second episode of Everyday Disciples. I got the pleasure of interviewing Anna last time, and then today we get Anne. So I see a trend going here, a pattern. But thank you for joining me. And why don't you just introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's such a joy to be able to kind of share a bit about my story. But yeah, I'm originally from just outside of Listowel, just like you, Derek. And I've been married to my husband, Travis, for almost 4 years now, which is crazy. We're high school sweethearts, so that's pretty awesome. And yeah, I really just love being a part of WMB. I serve with youth and I serve in Kidsmen. And yeah, I just graduated school last year for my master's and then just ended up getting a job in January. So I'm now the coordinator of knowledge translation and programs at Parachute Canada.
Wow, that is a tongue twister right there. That's great. And you and Travis have been troopers. You're doing grade 9 girls. Travis is doing grade 9 boys,
yes.
Which is an age of transition, I would say, and the many different things that come into that. So you guys have been great leaders for that. And then Kidsmen as well, serving with the littles. And then home groups. It's been great that you guys have been able to get involved in the life of the church. Yeah, that's great. So one question I always ask everyone, and I'll ask pretty much every guest I have on this podcast, is what makes you, Anne, feel fully alive?
Yeah, I love that question. And I think my answer to that is backcountry camping. I love just being out in nature and being in God's creation. There's just something about having to like portage to your campsite and having to like make your own fire and cook all your own food and do that. And it just brings me back to the simplicity of life and makes me just feel fully alive and not having any cell service and just being able to canoe out in the middle of the night and see the full Milky Way in the sky. There's just something that makes me feel so alive. And when I feel like I'm so small and God's so big, that's just like, it just makes me feel at peace.
Yeah, I think there's something actually profound there in how you feel most alive when you're actually most distant from the things that take us away, there's distractions, technologies, you use the word unplugged.
Yeah.
I think there's actually something true in that.
Yeah.
Sometimes to feel most alive, we actually have to take a step out of the everyday life that we find ourselves in.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah.
No, that's really profound. So, Anne, why don't you just share a bit of your story with us? Mm-hmm. Why don't you just tell us a bit, how did you come to meet Jesus? You mentioned that you met Travis in high school. Maybe that's part of this story too. Like, bring this all together for us.
Yeah, I was very lucky to grow up in the faith. I grew up going with my family every Sunday to the Presbyterian Church in Stratford. And that was super foundational in me getting to know who God was. And then kind of throughout high school, I started to join the Pentecostal Church in Listowel and kind of joined their youth group to be a part of kind of the local Christian youth community. And that's actually where I met Travis, which is funny. Really just blessed to be able to grow up in the faith. But I think that because I always knew who Jesus was, I grew a bit numb to the idea of the gift that he was and the power that he actually has in my life. So then when I went to university, that kind of opened my eyes to the suffering of the world. I hadn't really like fully experienced that being from a small town. And yeah, it just really opened my eyes to like knowing that people actually don't know who Jesus is and they're going through and navigating these really tough times of suffering and things without actually knowing who Jesus is. And that just like broke my heart. And I think specifically in my second year of university, I had a roommate who wasn't a Christian and she would have these panic attacks all the time. And I wouldn't know really how to approach it other than just saying like, hey, like, can I pray for you? And can I read scripture over you? And she would say yes. And one time I did this, I had these words in the back of my Bible that kind of corresponded to different verses. And I said, what word would you like to hear? And she said, hope. And my heart just like sunk for someone not being able to know the hope that they have in Jesus. And so that really just like seeing her experience that truth for the first time really just made me kind of come alive again into the power that God has and really just like made me recommit my life to Jesus. And yeah, I've been full in ever since.
Yeah, isn't that amazing how sometimes God uses non-believers and an experience like that, that kind of transforms us as well and then brings us back and is that reminder that sometimes God just gives us those reminders that he is real and that he is hope.
Yeah.
I love that story. So what, like you mentioned briefly, we've actually known each other a long time, at least known of each other, known each other's siblings. And then your husband, Travis, who's actually related to me distantly, I think we're like third or fourth cousins.
Yeah.
So all these small town connections and family connections, common in the Christian world, I find. When you guys first came to WMB, we obviously recognized each other. Then I think we went out for lunch shortly after.
Yeah.
But why don't you just quickly share how you guys came to WMB and how that all came together?
Yeah. So we started watching in 2022, I believe. And we had kind of started online because I was suffering and recovering from a concussion, which I'll touch on in a little bit. But yeah, we were really just praying for when we moved from Listowel to Waterloo, praying for a church that we could kind of really feel discipled by and really just like feel like we were taught, you know, it's based on the Bible and everything, and like really just feel a part of a larger community. And that's exactly what we got when we came to WNB. And it was really funny because the first online service that we watched was actually you preaching, and Travis and I looked at each other, I'll never forget. And we're like, we know who that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been just such a blessing to be here ever since.
And that sermon I preached didn't turn you guys off
no,
the church. So that's a win.
Exactly.
That's a win. And I remember when we went out for lunch that first time, we were having like smoked meat. We were at Crow's Foot eating all this amazing food.
Delicious.
And I remember hearing a bit of your story that while we'd known of each other, I never knew this was happening. Mm-hmm. And you shared with us a bit about your journey through concussions.
Yeah.
And a long journey and a hard journey. Mm-hmm. And you just shared with us and opened up about, because it was recent in that time too.
Yeah.
You were still really living in that.
Yeah.
So why don't you just share now a bit about that journey and then how God walked with you through that.
Yeah, of course. So in 2021, late 2021, I had sustained the concussion from reffing soccer just at my part-time job. And the ball just kind of deflected off of somebody's foot. It was just a very fluke thing. Came up, hit me in the head, not even very hard, but just the right way, or I guess the wrong way, and kind of left me in this position of suffering for about 2 years with a concussion. And this hadn't been my first concussion, which I think was a part of the kind of prolonged journey and prolonged recovery. But it really was just this season of really not knowing how to get better. You know, a lot of research was still coming out. So things that I had done back in high school to recover from my concussion were now deemed like ineffective, or like there was better things coming out. And so just trying to like navigate this and find new practitioners that were kind of on the cutting edge of this. And I hadn't really dealt with these like really prolonged symptoms lasting like months and months and months and then years. So just like being able to navigate that. And it was a super, I like to say, emotional roller coaster, because I would kind of get these glimpses of hope of saying like, you know, okay, today I didn't have a headache, or I'm going to have a really good appointment. I would kind of see a new practitioner. I was seeing about five different practitioners at the same time, and kind of having these different glimpses of hope, and then kind of spiraling back down again, and then having a little bit. And then, so it was just this up and down, and really just trying to like navigate that. And for people who don't know, concussions are kind of called this like invisible injury. And it's really like it is, like you don't have a broken arm and you can't see that somebody is like physically broken or hurting.
And people around you can't see those.
Exactly.
Things.
So it's very isolating. And to be able to like having to communicate that all the time, even like with my husband or my family, my friends, let alone like anyone else who's not very close to me, how I'm feeling. You know, I would also have to communicate to all my practitioners like every symptom I was feeling, and having to remember that, which on top of having a concussion is not great. It doesn't really go well together. So yeah, that was just like overwhelming. I often felt like super kind of trapped and like within myself, and that I couldn't kind of get out. It was like a different version of myself was like showing up. And it was just this time of feeling super lost and like just not knowing what to do. And I just remember a lot of days and nights just like crying out to God, being like, God, like, what are you doing with this? Like, why am I suffering in this? And like, trying to just navigate like what he wants me to learn through this and everything. And a lot of times I would journal and kind of process all these emotions as I was trying to get them out of my head. And I just wanted to, as I was preparing for this podcast, I was reading through back through my journal through that time. And I want to share an entry that I wrote kind of on the 1 year mark of my recovery journey. So I'll read that now. This is from October 25th. 1 year, one whole year of weakness, struggle, anxiety, fear, love, and care. We made it here to this milestone. It feels like a weird mix of celebrating some healing, but also mourning the season and feeling the pain of the last year all at once. I never would have pictured myself here. I almost feel numb. Like life continues around me, but I am still motionless in it all. It has been a hard year with relationships, many of them being impacted through this season. And I'm coming to the stark reality that people will never fully understand what this year has been. I am learning to cling to the quiet and stillness, embracing God's goodness and faithfulness throughout this season and always. I pray that at the end of this season, I would look back and say that with certainty that I am closer to Jesus because of my suffering. And yeah, that was just like a really good reminder to me of how much God has brought me through and not knowing what that season was going to kind of end for me. Yeah, so that's kind of a brief snippet of my story.
Well, why don't we, I would love just to dive deeper in that one phrase you did right at the end there.
Yeah.
That, can you read the last sentence you just...
Yeah, I pray that at the end of the season, I would look back and say with certainty that I am closer to Jesus because of my suffering.
I am closer to Jesus because of my suffering. Could you just play that out for us a little bit? Like, I think there might be people that are like, how can that be?
Yeah. I think like this is not something that I realized like super on in my suffering. It was more like, yeah, like at the 1 year marker and further of just like really understanding that when we're in suffering, like all we can do is turn to Jesus.
Hmm.
And we have this opportunity to actually just like kind of embrace the suffering and say like, I am weak, but Jesus, you are strong and you are made perfect in my weakness. And it's just this kind of, it's hard to understand when you're not in a season of suffering, but it's just like, that's my desire. That was my desire in that season. And it still is that I want to be more like Jesus. And that was really just keeping me going and helping me navigate this season. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm reminded of the author Philip Yancey, who's written a lot on suffering, who's very in line with that. And he would even say, like, there's aspects to suffering where when we look back at our journey, we're almost like, wow, I don't know if I would have given that up for how that's brought me to this place with Jesus.
And people look at me when I say, like, I'm thankful for that season and that I wouldn't actually change it. Like, if I could go back and change the circumstances, I wouldn't, because I'm closer to Jesus because of it.
Yeah, and that's a testimony right there, right? Where we can say, you know what? I have seen God work in this. I've seen his hand in this. I mean, when that picture comes together and it, I think, really paints something beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I'm almost thinking of the metaphor of like beauty of the dust, right? Or God just using what seems like, the Bible has stories like this, right? God using like bad situations, at least on the surface level, into something far more amazing.
Yeah, and it's just incredible too how like God uses suffering. Like the amount of opportunities I've had to connect with people and even just help them to navigate things that I did, like physically and emotionally, but also then just lead them to Christ through this has been like amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And at the same time, we live in a tension, right? Because I think many people who are listening to this interview, this podcast, might be hearing the words of your journal and relating to it on a very personal level. Mm-hmm. Because there's going to be people listening to this who are either currently experiencing long-term suffering or has recently experienced that or still haven't recovered from a season of that.
Mm-hmm.
And as you read those words, I'm sure there's many things that people will pull out and relate to in some form. But what encouragement would you have for that person mm-hmm. that is maybe currently experiencing long-term suffering?
Yeah, I think when I was in my suffering, I wanted someone to tell me, like, Jesus knows, like, other people around you cannot comprehend, and we can't expect them to comprehend because we're only human. But Jesus knows, like, he knows your pain. He knows all your fear. He knows your anxiety. He knows everything that you're feeling because he suffered on the cross. And he knows your pain. And I think something that I also heard, I also wanted to read from, I remember if it was a sermon or a podcast that I was listening to. Again, memory is not my strong suit.
Yeah, we'll give you a pass on that one. Yeah. We'll give you a pass.
But I remember someone saying that suffering can either make our hearts bitter and hard towards God and others, or we can see it as an invitation to grow closer to God and allow it to soften our hearts to lead others to Christ. So it's like exactly what I want to encourage people with is that, yes, like it seems suffering is hard, period.
Even if it grows you closer to God, it does not mean that every day is just going to feel like joyful in that sense.
Exactly. Yeah. It is a hard, it's very hard. But when we can use it to actually bring glory to God and bring others to Christ, like that makes it worth it. That makes all the pain worth it. Yeah. And that's how I would encourage people is that your suffering is not being wasted. God can use it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think, wow, there's so much there. So much we could dive into, but yeah, we only have so much time here. And just looking at that season in your life, now where God has brought you, obviously God's transformed you in that season and through other seasons in your life too. And as we kind of just come to a close of our conversation, in your current season of life, what are some ways that, what are some things that God's been teaching you, ways he's been showing you in this current season?
Yeah, well, it's funny that you asked me to touch kind of on my concussion story and that because I feel like I'm so quick to forget God's faithfulness and all that he's done and provided for me throughout all the different seasons of my life, specifically that one. So God's just reminding me that he is in control, he is faithful, and he always will be there and give me exactly what I need, whether I think about it or not. And also God is teaching me a lot about contentment in this season of just kind of being settled and kind of just being happy and content and finding joy in the mundane and really not, you know, trying to wish away a season or kind of move on to the next, but just be present right here, right now and be intentional with each day.
I think that's a message, like we're a very similar age. And I think that's a message that people our age really need to hear.
Yeah.
Because we live in a generation that really has a lot of people right now on social media, but then more than that, that love to just put up like, oh, we're traveling here, we're doing this, right? And we almost get an unrealistic picture of what life looks like, right? We're always kind of just like, oh, all these people are doing all these different things and here I am at home. And life's great. Like, I love my spouse, I love my job, all of that. Life's great. We're kind of always like, oh, we're almost just like yearning for something more, right?
Yeah.
But throughout world history and throughout today too, it's actually in the ordinary that people are called to live and follow for Jesus, right?
Exactly.
And some people will have the opportunities to do all these different things, and that's great. That's great, and God can use that. But then throughout the centuries, some of the most profound Christian writers, pastors, authors are people who lived very ordinary lives, including the Bible too, right? And in the ordinary is when God can use us, right?
Exactly.
And sometimes God does extraordinary in the ordinary.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. For a bit of wordplay there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Anne, thank you so much for joining me here for this podcast and this discussion and for serving at youth, getting involved in the church. I do want to say one thing that I really appreciated about you and Travis was when you guys started coming here, obviously you were watching online because of health reasons and all that. But when you actually start coming here, basically within like as soon as you could, you got involved, right? So I really want to say good on you for that. And I just loved your heart in that you guys are like, we want to serve.
Yeah.
We want to get involved in this community. We want to get involved in a small group, do all these things. And I think that's a testimony in itself. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate that. But yeah, Anne, thank you so much for joining me for this conversation here today.
Thank you so much, Derek. It's been a joy.